This morning, Alice Pfeiffer is being interviewed at Air Force Village 1, San Antonio, Texas, by Ruth Stewart. This is February the 17th, 2004. This is being done as a project of the Women's Overseas Service League, San Antonio Unit. Alice, tell me briefly about where you were born, where you were brought up, and what kind of a life you led then.
I was born in Rockford, Illinois. And I think that as far as the childhood was concerned, it was just like any other thing, except in those days you played hide and seek and red light and things like that, and to amuse yourself, and you didn't have didn't get into any trouble. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's too bad that the children nowadays don't know how to amuse themselves, because mm-hmm. we sure did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I remember when it rained, we all put our bathing suits on and went out in the street. And you know, we thought we were in a lake or something to play in the puddles.
Splashed around, yeah.
Yeah, we mussed around.
Yeah.
So we just made up things to do, you know, and we never got bored or anything like that. But what different generation?
Right. And then, what got you interested in nursing?
I wasn't interested in it. My family was. So I didn't like it at all.
But you ended up in nursing school.
Well, my family wanted me to do it, and I didn't have any other choice.
Okay. And then where did you go in? Where did you study?
Swedish American Hospital, Rockford, Illinois.
Okay. And following your graduation from there, that was a diploma program, like was common in those days.
Right.
But did you join the, well, it wouldn't have been the Air Force right away, would it? Or did you work as a civilian?
No, I went into the Air Force almost immediately.
Was it the Air Force or Army Air Force?
It was the Army.
Army Air Force, okay.
I went in almost immediately.
And what year was that?
1941.
Right at the beginning of the war then. The war. You can tell which one is my war. My era. Okay. And was it because of the war that you decided to go in, or?
No, I just wanted to go in to get away from that hospital. I didn't like it.
Okay. So there you went. Off you went. And where did you have your basic then?
Well, we didn't have basic training in those days.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
What? How did they start you out then?
We just went.
We went into hospital? Army Air Force Hospital?
Mm-hmm. You didn't have any basic training. We just went. And in fact, I went to Camp Grand, Illinois, and it was only 5 miles out of Rockford. When I went to the post office to get my orders, I saw where I was going, and I cried all the way home. I cried all the way home. I walked home from the post office, and I told my mother when I got there, I says, "Look at this. I'm only going 5 miles out of town."
What was the name of the camp?
Camp Grant.
G-R-A-N-T?
Grant. Just like the president's name. But we didn't have basic training in those days, because you see, you didn't get, you got your room and your board. I don't remember whether, no, you didn't get, you got $70 a month. That's all you got. But you got your room and board. Of course, you got to get that anyway.
Then what kind of clinical assignment did you get when you were there?
I just worked probably on the medical ward. I don't think I ever worked on surgical ward.
Okay. And how long were you there?
And we went, we worked 7 to 7 in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how long I was there, because then I went to Aiken, then I went to Aiken Field.
And were you very happy then when you got out of Rockford?
Then I don't know. Then I went to Eglin Field, you know, down in Florida. And then we went up to we went up to Fort Bragg before we went on, we went abroad. You know, you had to go there to get indoctrinated about overseas, et cetera, et cetera. And then we sailed on we sailed on Mary.
On
Queen Mary.
Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm. I remember she changed her course every 7 minutes. And they put us in, they crammed us in staterooms, you know. We were like three decker, you know, and it was an L shape, and I don't know how many were in that cabin. And they put us in alphabetical order. So I got the top bunk, and I'm scared to death of heights. I am. I really am, because I remember in nurse's training, I was just telling somebody the other day, that there was some project, and you had to get on this ladder, you know, go over like that, and something connected, I don't know what it was connected, and I told them, I said, you know, if you make me go up on that ladder, I'm quitting right now. I didn't have to do it. I'm scared to death of heights.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty common, really.
Yeah. Well, anyway, then I don't know where we were. It was the 68th General, and it was out in the cow pasture. You weren't near anything. And I didn't like it over there at all. The people were all right, but I mean, I didn't like that hospital director.
Now,
he was a pain in the neck.
What country was that in, Alice?
That was during the war. That was the 68th General.
And what country was the cow pasture in?
England.
England, okay.
That's what I called it, because we weren't even close to, we were probably, the closest might have been Shrewsbury. I don't remember, but I think it was Shrewsbury. I know we weren't close to Liverpool, and we weren't close to London. So we were just out there. It was very boring. And we worked 7 to 7.
That was either morning or day or evening or night. It was 7 to 7 day or
mm-hmm.
7 to 7 night.
Right.
Okay. And what was your personal life like when you were out there? Did they have barracks, or what did you live in?
No, we had barracks per se. I don't really recall much about them, but I know we had barracks, and we didn't go over to France until after. I think we went over there in 1946, because we didn't do anything in France. We just stayed there down in southern France, and then we finally left and came back to the States, and then at Fort Sheridan, that's where a lot of us got our discharge papers. We weren't asked whether we wanted to stay in or not. And then Elizabeth Fitch, fit shampoo. She told me when I went back in, she said, Alice, if you had looked me up, you wouldn't have had to get out. She said, that's what Marie Edson did. Well, then, see, I went back in on the 1st of March of 49. So the period that I was out, I went back in time enough so that the period that I was out is still accounted for my years in the service and my pay period.
What year was it that you went to Fort Sheridan and were discharged?
That was, I was on the 1st of March, that was 1946, but I don't know what month, because I know I went back into the service on the 1st of March of 49 at Scott.
Scott Air Force Base?
Mm-hmm. I got it all down on that paper.
Okay. Good. I'm glad that you
Then I went to Alaska because I was in Alaska during the Korean War. And from Alaska, I went to I put this down in the paper, so I hope I get it right. I went to Orlando, and then from Orlando, I went to Yeah, I just put it on the paper last night. Where did I go? I went to.
You went to Iceland after Orlando.
Mm-hmm. And then I went to Davis Mountain.
Texas?
No, that's Arizona. And then I went to Ben Gurion, Morocco. Off it and a Wright Pat, and I retired at Wright Pat.
And what year was that this year?
May of 64.
So you've been retired 40 years then.
I didn't do any nursing afterwards either. When I retired, I retired.
Okay. Let's go back now to some of the time that you were in the Air Force. What kind of recreation did you find when you were overseas, if any?
I don't recall of any.
Didn't play cards or did you read?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a reader, but I've never been a card player. Mm-hmm. I remember one time, when I was in Iceland, people just didn't have cars. You don't have cars up there, you know. One fellow did have a car, one Navy fellow, and we went fishing one time. But I don't recall that much to do, you know. You just made your own. You made your own thing. And I'm not a card player.
Mm-hmm. And what about friends? Did you make friends that you continued contact with throughout the service?
From Davis Mountain. The those probably are the only ones that that I really became friends with, that I've kept in touch with. Mm-hmm. Two from Davis Mountain, and I forgot what the other one was from, but I did more after I retired than I did when I was in the service. Mm-hmm. I don't recall of anything outstanding we ever did, as far as recreation is concerned. Because I don't know what we did.
Maybe you read a lot.
Because I have really no idea. Maybe you think it's funny, but I can't remember of anything we ever did.
After you were discharged, did you join any veterans organizations other than Women's Overseas Service League?
At one time, I did belong to it for a short time in Tucson, and then I don't know why I dropped out. And then I joined it here Edith Crow, when she lived here in the village. We went out a couple of times, and then I always got lost going out there, and after about two or three times, I said, this is it. I'm not driving out there anymore. I always got lost every time and lost coming back, and it wasn't worth it, because that's a long ways out there.
That was to where then?
Where you used to be. I can't think of the, clear out there at Luby's.
Randolph Air Force Base?
Where you met.
You mean just the organization.
The organization met,
Luby's.
At that Luby's.
Yeah.
At that Luby's cafeteria, where you've been for years and years and years.
Right.
And, then after... I can't remember now when I rejoined because of Jean driving. Of course, then she doesn't drive anymore, so we don't go. Because I don't know about Irma, whether, sometimes I think she does and sometimes I think she doesn't, but that's immaterial.
Mm-hmm. So then, right out in 1946 then, or 64, when you retired, did you come directly to San Antonio?
I went to Arizona. I haven't been here. I think I've been here about 11 years. Oh no, I never was stationed in Texas. Thank the Lord.
If you feel that way about it, how come you came back to Texas or came to Texas then about 11 years ago?
Well, because this is for service people and retired, and I thought it was, well, you don't have anybody to take care of you, so this is a good place to go.
Mm-hmm. So you've been here ever since, and you apparently are active here. You're going to a luncheon today.
Oh, well, this is what we have. A group that will host this, and we have, groups that will host evening parties and will host luncheons and things like that.
So how is your life going now? Comfortably?
I don't know. I guess it's all right.
Do you have any particular memories of your time in the service and the nursing and the Air Force, Army Air Force, and then the Air Force that stick out in your memory as interesting or challenging?
I don't think that mine was any different than just everyday life.
Okay.
Nothing.
And no funny things that happened that
I just can't recall because sometimes I thought, oh, I'll erase all of this and I won't remember it.
Okay.
Maybe that's the wrong attitude to take, but you know, some people they rub you the wrong way, and so you don't want to remember anything connected with them.
Okay, so then do you have anything special to add or anything you want to add to this tape before we close it off and let you go to your luncheon?
I don't think of anything, thank you.
Okay. Well, we really do appreciate so much your taking the time, and I know it hadn't been easy for you and with your headache today.
Because I just don't have anything interesting to say, you know, you do that, and you know, now the girls that were in the over there in France living in tents and things like that, well, that's different, you know. And I think the girls that were in the beginning, they were transporting the wounded even before the flight nurses started, because I know that, she used to see Edith Rothenberg, she was one of those girls that she was before the flight nurses organization ever became. And so things like that are interesting, like, just to be where I was, mm-hmm. Not very interesting. And I just can't remember anything. I know I taught myself how to ride a bike over in England.
That was part of your recreation then.
I don't think we ever managed to go up a hill. I always walked the bike up the hill because it was so hilly. And then when you went down, you had to be careful putting the brakes on all the time. Although I don't recall that I ever fell off.
Well, that was remarkable.
You know, and I know I taught myself how to ice skate in Iceland, in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But you could hold on to that, you know,
the railing,
and mm-hmm. And then have to. Then when you got there, they only had, you know, those little stoves that stand about like that.
Yeah.
And then 9 times out of 10, there was no wood or anything in there. And there you're having to get your shoes off to put your ice skates on, and you're freezing before you get out on the rink.
Right.
But it was easy to teach yourself how to do it because you could hold on to the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And I never fell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how come, because I'm sort of an awkward individual, but nobody really had cars, you know, and just like down during the war in Florida, I think there was one girl that had a car, and that was about it. But then, I'm not a beach goer, but some of them stayed down there for so long they got sunburned, you know. I went once in a blue moon, and that's it, because I've always had ear trouble, and I wasn't supposed to even go wading, but I did a couple of times. Oh, I forgot. We had a pet skunk.
Had a what?
A pet skunk.
Skunk. Interesting.
And his name was Skunky.
Skunky.
That's what we called him. And there was a sergeant out in one of the auxiliary fields, and he took a shine to Ruth Zuber, and he asked her he said, "Do you think the girls would like a skunk?" We said, "Sure." And so he said skunk, and he said he was de-skunked. Well, Skunky just loved all of us. And one night there were only about three of us in the quarters. And the rest of them came home and about midnight, and Skunky was so glad to see them that somebody accidentally stepped on his tail.
Ooh.
He wasn't completely disgusted.
Oh dear. You found out the hard way.
And we were pouring cologne to all the cologne we had out in the hall.
Yeah.
And of course Skunky had to go back to the auxiliary field. And Ruth went out there to see him a couple of times, and he didn't like the boys.
Yeah.
And he died of a broken heart.
Oh. Interesting tale, though. Yeah.
He was, because I remember was last year, I think, was that McNay or Whitty Museum we went into, and we were going in the door and hear this, because there's a, you know, a sort of lot of trees back there that, and there's a good place for those animals. And so here comes the skunk, and I don't know, he was coming right by us, and then I said, "Oh, Skunky."
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
So anyway, you know, I remember that because he was, he was such a nice pet.
Yeah, and they're pretty.
Oh yeah, they are. Very this pretty. This one out there was real pretty too. It reminded me of Skunky.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that's the extent. Of course, I know. I guess it didn't. You know, because usually, you know, you can't have pets, but that was different. That was different. You know, they weren't so strict then.
Uh-huh.
And we were glad to have him, and we all felt sad.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, my allergies.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, have you got anybody?